I took a passage from the Message, which is another translation of scripture, and it's found in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 21, and I just want to read this to you. And it goes like this. It says, "Let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life." I like that. Let me repeat that. "Let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life." It recalls me back to our motto in this church, which is our main thing, and that is what? It's getting people to love God and to love people. In order to accomplish this, we need and must welcome God's intervention, His infusion, and His incarnation in our lives. Secondly, we need to be discipled to spiritual maturity. In this church, we call it spiritual formation. And that's experiencing the God life by following Christ. We must therefore develop, if we are to love God and to love people, we need now then to also develop another kind of love. And it's a love, in addition to loving God and loving people, that is loving God's word or scripture. How many of you love God's word? How many of you have areas in which you don't understand His word? It's our greatest love and our greatest frustration at the same time, isn't it? However, when we speak of scripture, a good way of understanding scripture is simply this. It is God's story. That's it. Don't make it complicated than what it is. The Bible or God's word or scripture is really God's revelation of who He is. It's His story. I love the way Leonard Sweet puts it. He says, "We become like what we like, just as the kinds of friends we choose decide the kind of person we become and the direction life takes. The stories we relate to most closely structure our identities." So say this to your neighbor: you're made up of stories. The reason why Jesus' words are so powerful is because He puts them in story form. Notice that when He teaches people, people don't take out notebooks, pens, and papers. Because what He says in His stories automatically rings clear into their hearts. It becomes so natural that to follow Him, it's just the natural thing to do, because the things that He says is just so naturally true. And so our lives are made up of stories. Here's the truth. Stories that we accept or take in our lives, they mold and shape us for life. And so we're made up of these stories. And whatever we take in, these stories that we take in, these are the stories that shape our lives. Think about it. The fact is, we need good companion stories. Amen. And so the Bible, or God's story, is the best source for a companion story. That's the reason why there's changes that happens in our lives. Yesterday we went to Valencia, and I witnessed something powerful. My father-in-law, he celebrated his 69th birthday, and upon the request of my sister-in-law, she had the children pray for him. And so from the youngest to the eldest, they prayed. Nobody passed. I don't think nobody passed the baton, you know, saying, "Oh, I pass, you know, you go ahead and pray." No, everybody prayed. From the youngest to the eldest, they all prayed, including the ones that I thought would literally just say, wow, well, I'm shy. I saw the word of God just dwelling in them so richly that they were able to pray for their grandfather. We take that for granted because we're Christians. But you know what? Talk to me 30 years ago, I would have never had the guts to pray. And so stories mold and shape us. And the best place to get the best companion story is found in Scripture. And so therefore, we need to get into a real relationship with God's word or God's story. So the question is, how should we relate to God's story? How should we relate to the Bible? Now here we go. I think the Sunday school is here. Here's a tip. Say this with me. Memorize the stories in the Bible, not just the verses. Because stories shape our lives. We're not perfect. We really aren't. And sometimes when we do feel like we're perfect, somehow God reminds us that we're not. Have you ever been there? And so what happens is this. There are times when I see imperfection in my life. There are times when I think that I'm justified in my actions. And then God reveals to me that I was completely wrong. And so what happens is this. When that happens, somehow God reminds me of the tabernacle, the place of worship. And he allows me to just enter in through the gate that's found on the east side entrance of that tabernacle. And then he allows me to enter in into the holy place. And I'm able to see the table of incense, which represents the worship of God's people, entering into the most holy place. And then I see the Ark of the Covenant, the very symbol of God's presence. And then that symbol is covered by this gold covering called the mercy seat, that nobody gets into the heart of God without understanding his mercy. And then I'm humbled. Hesed is the word. It's the word for mercy. It's the word that says that even in life when I think I know what I'm doing, God humbles me and I receive mercy. When we go through financial situations, Angela knows this, when things doesn't seem to go well with our family, we always refer back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, in which Jesus says, don't worry about what you will wear, what you will eat, what you will drink. The pagans go after these things, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all of these things shall be added unto you. Whenever I feel anxious or jealous and I say, why are the wicked prospering? And then the people who serve God, they're the ones to suffer. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. Memorize the stories in the Bible, not just the verses. The reason for that is because stories are ongoing. They're constantly affecting life. Stories are able to shape, guide, and enlighten the person. Stories are personal and informal. And so what do we do with these stories? It's basically this. God is still working on us through these stories. You know, at times we feel like we're complete, but you know, here's a reminder. We're not done yet. For some of us, that must be a very frustrating thing. But for most of us, it's a hallelujah time. You're not done yet. You should be excited for that because God is still working on you. That's actually a blessing when God is still working on you. Our story is still unfinished, and yet he invites us to have a hand in actually coloring our lives. We sing worship songs to help us remember God's stories. And Miles was very powerful at that today. Miles, this worship team just put us into a different dimension today. I need new vocal cords. I can't sing any louder than what I'm singing now. I'm tapped out when it comes to singing. But I want to sing louder than loud. The reason for that is because of that. These stories, these songs help us remember God's stories in Scripture. That's why this church is so excited. That's why we like to sing loud. Why? Because we want to be reminded of those stories. And those stories, what happens to those stories? They mold and shape our lives. You see, when it comes to remembering, the older you get, the less you remember. Oh, I'm just checking my ear. I wasn't asking for an amen. It was a little scratch here. See, the older we get, the less we remember. Here's a good understanding when it comes to memories. Our memories aren't just functions of our brain. It's a function of our whole body. We remember things according to our experiences and our five senses. So if you have issues with remembering, try using your senses. My kids get on me because I listen to old music. They tell me, Dad, 90% of those people that's been singing in your CD, they're all dead. I'd say thank you for those words of encouragement. Why do I listen to those songs? I often thought about that. You know why? Because I remember what took place. I remember when I can still run a mile, Nick. I remember when I was agile and did gymnastics and strong. I remember, I hear a song, and then I recall how pure life was. I smell something like mamang's pinakbet, and then I remember my own mom making that. Are you tracking with me? These are memories. So if you're ever losing your memory, try using senses. Smell suntan lotion. Believe you me, you'll feel you're at the beach. Listen to Freddie Ravel or Hiroshima and you'll be in Santa Barbara, the coastline. Listen to Maranatha. It'll put you within the throne room of heaven. And so forth. Whatever it may be, these five senses help us. This is also the same thing when it comes to God's story. We put ourselves into the place of God's story. And so, with this, we have to then correct our theological or this theological error. You know, I've heard somebody once told me, you know, what I like about your preaching, Pastor, is that you make the scriptures come alive. You ever heard of that before? Well, the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So instead, we are the ones who must come alive to the scriptures and not the other way around. See, say this to your neighbor. The scriptures are alive. We just need to be alive. Within God's word, there are time release explosives. And at some point in history, and even in our own personal histories, these explosives go off. In other words, things begin to make sense. It works out. We become powerful. We become successful. And so therefore, here's what we need to do. Our job is to strategically plant our lives in Scripture, or in other words, apply Scripture principles and experience its explosions or its blessings, its benefits, and its powers. See, that's what happens. How many of you have read something and it didn't make sense now, but 10 years later, it makes perfect sense? That's the explosion. And so what do you have to do in your life? You need to plant your life according to Scripture. Then guess what, Rob? Your life would be exploding every day. Because there will be some things that you've read weeks ago or months ago or years ago, and all of a sudden it comes to pass today. But if you're not strategically applying that in your life, guess what happens to you? You miss it completely. It's this time release. We need to plant our lives, experience its explosions. The book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "You thrill to God's word, you chew on scripture day and night." And so we need to be establishing a new relationship with God's word. I've said this before, and I think Fitzy will be explaining this further, but God pulls us from the future. Jesus is our future. Amen? Therefore, we should never settle down when it comes to our spiritual walk, when it comes to reading His Word. We got to keep traveling. We need to keep reading. We need to read His Word as if our lives depended on it. we need to read the ones that we've already read as if we were reading those things for the very first time. Now, when it comes to our relationship with God's Word, it's just like in any other relationships. There are joys in relationships, and there's also dangers. There's the joys of discovery. The more we learn about God's Word, the deeper our understanding becomes. Above all, we also discover about ourselves, our identities, and we appreciate God's workings in our lives. Amen? The song Amazing Grace applies to this. The song says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I see. These are God's workings. This is what we begin to discover of who we are, and so therefore we start living like that. Are you there? The more we read Scripture, the more we begin to realize who we are and what God is doing in our lives. We begin to appreciate His work. We begin to see things in a different light. We begin to live our lives differently simply because we know now who we are. Are you there? However, there's also dangers when it comes to understanding Scripture. Can we guess what these dangers are? Well, the way I put it is this. We journey through life with others. You're never alone. You journey through life with others. And at times, we get to share their burdens. Oh, I'm really asking for an amen on that time. When you journey with somebody, there are times when they share their burdens with you. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, this principle applies. So here's how it goes. If you don't have God's Word in you, here's what happened. You're still sharing each other's burdens. But now the load becomes heavy. And then you can't stand people anymore. Then you erase them out of your Facebook account. Then you no longer follow them on tweet. Whatever. I don't do none of that stuff anyway. All of a sudden the snapshots disappear. Snap whatever, chat shot. The chat shot disappears. We journey through life with others. At times we get to share their burdens. We feel their pain. And so walking becomes very difficult. The more friends you have, the more you have a limp. And then at other times, because we're not perfect, we break their hearts. We disappoint people. These are the reasons we shun relationships. Since that's the case, it's better not to have friends. So guess what? There are people who live alone in this life because they have no friends. But yet in God's Word, there's provisions because His burden, the Bible says, is light. Hallelujah. There's one thing for sure. One writer wrote, when it comes to the dangers, the Bible is hazardous to your status quo. The Word of God can totally upset your life. The Scriptures are the greatest change agent in the world. It changes the way you live. No wonder there are a lot of people who don't want to read God's Word. Oh, that's another one. Now it's this ear. It's not just because we don't understand God's Word. We choose not to read it because of the fact that it will change our lives. It'll make things uncomfortable. It demands our obedience. So when the Bible says dance, guess what? We don't want that part. When the Bible says sing or raise your hands, oh no! That's just the little stuff. You know, there's a reason why I ask people to raise their hands and do this and do that. Why? Because I want us to start out small. It's a very little, tiny, minute command when I say I need for you to move up front. Let me just be candid with you. I don't say that for the sake of manipulation. I listen to God's command. And sometimes, by you walking two steps, it's an act of obedience. It's not how far you walk. Because as far as I'm concerned, you could be walking 200 miles and it'd still be the same obedience. But it's an act. When God is asking for humility and obedience, that's what he expects. We raise our hands simply because it's a symbol of surrender. It's a symbol of praise. But if we can't do that, what makes us think that we can obey him in the big things? I don't know. That's just my logic. Nick, and some of you do martial arts, boxing, kickboxing, I don't know, any which way to hurt yourselves. Here's a tidbit. I can't do what you do because it'll hurt. Because in those things, you need discipline. Now, if I can't do the little thing, what makes you think I can get in the ring? I'd be gone like that. In our spiritual walk, it's the same. If we don't obey God in the little things, we can't obey him in the big things. It's impossible. It's not normal. It's never done before. And so what must we do? We need to internalize God's word. Amen? God's stories or the word has the power to change the world only if we internalize them. And so one way of understanding of whether we're internalizing them is they need to make it in our dreams. Have you ever had a dream? Do you speak in English in your dreams? Or do you speak in Chinese? Or you speak French in your dream? You know, you start dreaming and all of a sudden you start saying, "Je suis très heureux de faire votre connaissance." Do you start doing that? Really? Seriously? I know a wonderful therapist that you need to see. But when we dream, we speak in English. Why? Because that language is now internal. And for some of us, even the ones who have been born in the Philippines, sometimes you're dreaming and you're speaking in English. We dream of things that are internal, things that have affected us. Phil and I lost our mom and our dad a few years ago. And at times I would dream of my mom as if she was still there. And so we need to internalize also God's word the same way. They need to make it in our dreams. And then we need to pause long enough for the truth of God's word to be trapped in us. We need the doors open to those hidden rooms of our hearts and let the word do its works of wonder. Sometimes when we read God's word, it's just, you know, we just want to get it over with. And we read surfacely. We don't allow it to find the hidden rooms in our hearts. Did you know that your hearts have hidden rooms? See, there's a part of your heart that you can reveal to people. There are parts of your heart that people know. And then there are hidden places in your heart in which you have rooms in there. And guess what? You don't allow, or we don't allow, God's word to enter into those rooms. Those rooms are 100% private. Do you know where I'm coming from? So when God's truth is there, guess what? We shun that. We don't put a welcome mat there. We leave the doors closed and private. We need the doors open to those hidden rooms. And then we say, we're living by the book. Living by the book does not just mean knowing the correct procedures or mastering the manual called the Bible. There was a young man that I talked to last week. He never spoke to me before. He has a little speech problem. And yet he knew my name, and I don't know why. And just out of the blue, he just started talking to me as if he knew me. I only met him a couple of times. I don't even know his name. But yet he called me out. He says, "Hey, Fernie, how are you doing?" You know, I said, "Oh, good." You know, and you know how it is when you don't know somebody's name, but you just pretend like you do. You know, does that happen to you? Like, "Yeah, hey, hello." You know, so we went through the formal FedEx handshake. And then I said, "So what are you doing?" And I said, "Why aren't you driving?" And this and that. He goes, "No, because I'm going to school." And then he began to reveal to me that he wanted to be a priest, but yet he was kicked out. And I said, "Why are you kicked out?" And for the life of him, he doesn't know. But he took up all of his schooling at CSUN, Cal State University, Northridge. And as I began to talk to him, he knew a lot about scripture. It was all in there, but it never really affected his heart. And so he started talking to me about religion. He started talking to me about living by the book. And so, of course, I told him I pastor a church. Then the more the defense mechanism came up because he came from a different denomination. And so again, he tried to engage me in something that he wants me to argue with. See, living by the book does not just mean knowing the correct procedures or mastering the manual. It means we become masters of relationships. We become masters of experiences and interactions. And so when we read scripture, instead of asking what life lessons can I learn from this text, or asking what answers can I find, instead we should be asking, am I encountering with God? Are you there? We just don't read scripture as if it'll just give us answers. We read scripture because we want to encounter the one who's voicing out scripture. Am I encountering with God? Is God speaking to me? Because this whole Bible reading thing basically is relational. He's not out there to just give you info. Hello. God is not just out there to give you answers and info. Hello. Hello. You will be disappointed. Hello. Hello. If you think you can box God in just giving you answers, hello, you will be disappointed. Hello. 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 Hello, because above the answers, he wants a relationship with you. Hello. Does that sound nagging? Yeah, it does, huh? What happens is this. When God's word begins to change us and we develop this relationship of loving what God says, say this to your neighbor. You become a fifth gospel. What are the gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And why do we call it the gospel? Because it tells God's story, the good news. Well, when we have God's word permeating in our lives, we now become the fifth gospel. There is the gospel of Matthew. There's the gospel of Mark. There's the gospel of Luke. Then there's the gospel of John. Then there's the gospel of Pastor Fernie. Then there's the gospel of Tim. Then there's the gospel of Rob. Then there's the gospel of Nick. There's the gospel of Heather. Fitzy. Why do I say that? Why? Because God's story now becomes your story. Paul calls this living epistles. We become living letters. And so the question that I ask today is this: what are people reading in us? What are they reading? What are they seeing? See, God the Father lived God's life in Jesus, and Jesus lives his life in us. Turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is the statement of Paul. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see that? It's no longer his life, it's God's life in him. He becomes a fifth gospel. I'm going to just close with this, if I may. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And so I love to throw this because John chapter 1 verse 1 is actually directly related to John chapter 1 verse 14. Look at what it says. And the Word what? Became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we love that part. See, In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. So here we're speaking of the incarnation of Christ, aren't we? We're speaking of Jesus becoming flesh, right? But here's what we leave out. The Word became flesh, and here's what we leave out, and made his dwelling among us. We love the theological part, but the relational part we keep missing sometimes. He dwelled among us. And the Bible says that we are the temple of his Holy Spirit. If he's dwelling in our lives and we become the temple, are people able to see that? Are we expressing our lives to the point that people are able to see the presence of God? The way we live our lives, is it different? Is it powerful? Is your life, is my life, good news? Is it a gospel story? Can people read the text of your lives and understand it and comprehend it? Will they in turn glorify God simply because they see your life? See, the Word of God is very powerful. Amen. But the Word of God needs to be expressed. If our lives are not showing God's Word, then people are getting the wrong interpretation of who we are. There's nothing to interpret if there's no text. If our light is not shining, there's really nothing to see. Is it making any sense? Christianity is serious. It's not just something that we casually just put on and off, like clothing. Christianity is not what we do, it's who we are. Would you stand? I'm going to ask you today to close your eyes, bow your heads. If today the Holy Spirit of God has been speaking to you in regard to his Word, you're here today and you're saying, God, I need more of you. I need more of your Word dwelling in me. I need to shine. I need your Word to dig deep within the recesses of my being. Today I open those hidden doors so that your Word can come in and do its wonderful work. Those secret places, oh God, I need your Word to wash and make clean. If you're that person today, I want you to just raise your hand. Then there are some who need to make their lives as the fifth gospel. Lord, I want above all that people would see you in me. I want to live my life like that, just like the Apostle Paul, where it says, I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. If you're that person today, I want you to also raise your hand. Lord,
You see these hands, O God. We want your word, O Lord, to change us. We're willing to take on the danger, O Lord, of just removing the status quo of our spirituality, O Lord. The lukewarmness, O God. We're willing to trade that, O God, for having your word wash us clean today. So in Jesus' name, I pray, O God, that you would enter into those doors that have been previously closed, O Lord, but now open, O God, to your washing, to your purification. And in Jesus' name, I pray, O God, that you would enter those hearts, you would enter those rooms today. And I pray, O God, that you would rule and reign, O Lord, within the depths, Lord God, of our souls today. In the name of Jesus, I pray, O God, that you would forgive sin today in Jesus' name. And Father, O Lord God, for those of us, O God, in which our light has not been shining as bright as it should, O Lord, would you light us up, O God, in the name of Jesus? Would you make our lives, O Lord, shine so brightly, Father, O Lord, that people would know that you are there? In the name of Jesus, I pray, O God, that you would cause us, O Lord, to be good news to people. Loving you and loving those you love. I pray, O God, that you would make disciples of the members of this church. The ones who are attending this service, O Lord, I pray that you would transform us. You would renew us, O God. In the name of Jesus. And for your glory. Now we ask, O Father, O Lord, that as you even dismiss us today, you would keep our hearts sensitive. And that, Lord, you would cause us, O Lord, to apply our lives within the context of your word. And as we read your word, O Lord, may it become dynamite, O Lord. Even the Apostle Paul, O Father God, did not quote Jesus and his teachings as much as he quotes the power that was in his Savior's life. That's the power of God that he wanted, O Lord. So above all, O Lord, it's not just your sayings in the Word that we go after. Not just that, not just limited to that, Lord. But above all, O God, that we can encounter with you, we can touch you, and we can allow you to touch our hearts in a great way, O Lord, that you become more real, O Lord, in our lives this week. I pray, O Lord God, that that would be our portion this week, is to encounter with the living God, and that, Father, Lord, people would see, O Lord, that our heart is solely set apart for you. Bless, O God, your people. Heal your people, O Lord God. Continue to do your mighty work in their lives. Change them, transform them. These we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.